Amen. Thank you, preacher. Let's all stand together tonight, if you would, please. And it's a real joy to be in the house of God this evening. I thank you for being here. I was telling Brother Clark there a little earlier, the end of the week is when I start getting a little bit homesick, because I start thinking about Miss Wendy, and I get to think about, man, she's bound to be missing me by now. Amen. And she's looking in right now, probably live, going, nah. Maybe to go a second week, amen. But anyway, I appreciate it. Listen, I want to say something about the girls sung for you tonight. It's a joy to be their pastor, but I want to say this tonight. They're not just singing, they live what they sing. And those young ladies have a heart for God, and I praise the Lord for that. And you know what? You can tell a lot about parents because it's hard to fake good kids. Amen. And I know I've had a lot to do with them turning out like they have, but anyway, Brother Clark's had a little bit to do with it, so we'll give him a little credit tonight. But I do appreciate you being in the service with us tonight, and thank you so much. And boy, hadn't God given us some beautiful days these last few days as well. And this morning I was thinking, I got up and got ready to go riding. I can't believe something, though. It bothers me a little bit. I found out that the girls, they go to Christian school, and they went today to try to find this junior, senior, I guess, dresses for their junior, senior banquet or whatever you have. However you're supposed to say that, as an Independent Baptist prom, whatever it is. Amen. Just ain't no rock going on. Amen. But anyway, Anna could have come over where I was at today and rode a mountain bike up them hills. And she, brother, went and bought a dress. I took them last year. We took about 20 of them to a very flat area to ride mountain bikes with us. And Anna come up to him and said, "Preacher, I love you, but I'm never doing that again." Amen. She meant it. I can't get her to go back. Amen. Take your Bible tonight, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 tonight. And I want you to look with me, if you would, at verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 1 tonight. I share with you that I was going to preach tonight an illustrated message that the Lord gave me one day when I had walked into Dollar General. And I'd been praying, seriously, I'd been praying and saying, "Lord, I want something fresh to preach." I was doing a youth conference up in the mountains in North Carolina. And I walked into a Dollar General and I just happened to look on a shelf in the kids' toy section. Why I was in the kids' toy section, I have no idea. But I remember seeing this and I could not get away from it. And God gave me this message, and I trust tonight that it'd be a help and that it'd be a blessing to you. And by the way, if you're in the middle of nowhere and there's nothing, you don't see a bird, you don't see anything, if you drive long enough, you'll see a Dollar General. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. In the middle of it all, there was a Dollar General. Amen. Somewhere. How many of you know what I'm talking about tonight? Amen. All right. 2 Corinthians, if I said first, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid," remember that phrase, "if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," watch this phrase, "have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Brother Clark, would you pray tonight, please, preacher?
Father, we're so thankful that we have an opportunity to meet in your house tonight. We pray, God, that you might do a mighty work. Yes. Father, be with our pastor, Lord. We thank you for him, whether it were his ministry, his love for him.
Yes, God, we need that unction.
Exactly.
Yes. Oh, God, yes. Yes. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Thank you so much for standing. For just a moment, I know when you noticed this passage of the Word of God tonight, you saw very quickly that God is talking about light, and God is talking about darkness, and God is talking about us being a light in this world that you and I are living in. And let me say this tonight. I think if we were all be totally honest tonight, we are living in some of the darkest days that we have ever seen throughout this world. I am amazed how right now, 40 minutes from my church the other night, a young man opened fire in a classroom at UNC Charlotte, 40 minutes from my church, and took the lives of two and injured severely three or four others. And we're seeing that in a common occurrence. We're seeing a fascination with the dark side, and we're seeing a fascination with people that are getting away from the light. But you know, Jesus, God said in the Word of God that in the last days people would be like that. They'd rather walk in darkness than in light. Now I want to say this. I'm glad for that day that God brought me from darkness unto light. I'm glad God turned the light on inside of my soul. I'm glad I live in that light tonight of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel a little preaching spirit tonight. Now listen to me. I want to say this to you tonight. Understand that you and I are the light of the world. 2 Corinthians 4:6 that I just read. For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts. Listen, Jesus came into us, and He is the light of the world. And if He's the light of the world and He's on the inside of us, like that little girl said one time, Mama, if God's on the inside of us, it looks like He'd stick out somewhere. And friend, we ought to be lights in this dark world that we're living in. Now I want to say this tonight. When you think about light, you think about this in 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So listen, I want to ask you a question. What kind of light are you in this world? I want to ask you this. What kind of light are you in your church, in your youth group, in your family? What type of light are you when you stand Pastor Hazelup and Brother Dixon and others when you stand in your pulpit? Are we shining? Are we shining in college? Are we shining in high school? Do we have a glow in our life? Are we revived in our soul and the light of God in our life? I was preaching up in the mountains of North Carolina near Asheville at a youth camp. And I went by and walked into a Dollar General, and I went in there just to pick up a couple snacks or something for the camper I was staying in. And I was really wanting the Lord to show me something. And I said, God, I want You to show me something and help me. And I didn't think He was going to do it in Dollar General. I'm just saying, God, help me preach. And I was walking by one of the counters in Dollar General, and I ran across something, and I couldn't find the mega one here. I had to get one that's got a little, some kind of little frog on it, and then another's got a little turtle or something on it. But I saw this thing called a glow stick. And I don't know what it was about this thing, but when I saw this thing called a glow stick, it got my attention. And I looked over at it, because I noticed that it says that it will glow for hours and hours, and you can activate it, and it'll be something that will glow in the dark. Yeah. When I saw that, I thought to myself, man alive, that'd be great if Christians would glow in the dark. Yes, sir. But I'm going to be honest with you. When I about had my Pentecostal spell, is when I turned it over and I looked at the directions on how do you get the glow out of the glow stick? How do you get the glow to work in a glow stick? So I began to look at it. And it does say you got to keep in this original package, and that's interesting until you're ready to use it. But I began to look at it, and I want you to notice something tonight. It gave three ways to get this little glow stick to glow. Now, right now tonight, it's not glowing. Right now tonight, it's not putting off any light. But I looked on the back, and on the back of this glow stick, it says something like this. It says, first of all, to activate the glow stick, you must first bend it. In other words, it says, if you're going to get any light out of it, you have to bend it. I got to thinking, well, Lord, that's the way it is with us. That's the way it is with revival. When I think about being bent, or the posture of bending, I think about prayer, and I think about bending our knees and getting down before God. And let me say this, if we're ever going to have revival, if we're ever going to glow, if we're ever going to be anything in this world, we got to learn to bend down and seek God and pray. Can I tell you this? We have the sermons, we have the songs, we have the building, but what we need is a power of the Holy Ghost of God, and that's going to come through prayer. So if I want the glow of God in my life, I have to bend. The Bible tells us in the Word of God that this cometh not but by prayer and fasting. I think about when it says the glow stick will not glow until you bend it. And I began to think about how many times in my life I've lost my glow because I didn't bend and pray enough. How many times the church has lost its glow because it did not bend and pray enough. Several months ago, it's been about 7 or 8 months ago at Calvary, I was beginning notice something. I was beginning to notice that we were kind of just going through the motion. The seats were full, the choir was singing good, the music was okay, but something was just missing. I could tell it just something wasn't stirred, Brother Danny, yet, and something wasn't right. And God began to burn my heart, and He said, I want you to get the people, and I want you to preach Sunday after Sunday on prayer. I want you to preach on prayer. I asked my church on a Sunday morning, I said, how many of you would be honest and say that you are guilty of the sin of prayerlessness? How many of you would admit that you don't pray like you ought to? I was amazed, but about 3/4 of my congregation raised their hand and said, preacher, we need a better prayer life. We need to pray more often. We need to pray better. And listen, and we began every Sunday to pray. It was right before the first of the year came. And God began to move. And God began to touch. And all of a sudden, the first Sunday of the year, people got saved. Second Sunday of the year, people got saved. We baptized them. Third Sunday of the year, people got saved. We had another baptism. Got to have another one right now. And folks started getting saved. Hey, watch this. The messages were the same. The preacher was the same. The music was the same. What was the difference? God's people, I got to praying. We got bent down and prayed and asked God to touch our church. Can I say this? According to my little package here that I picked up in Dollar General, it says in order to get the glow, you have got to bend this here glow stick. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. You got to bend it. But then it said something else. It says you got to snap it. That gives me an idea of you got to break it. I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you why we don't see revival like we should. Why don't we see things happen like we should? There's a lack of brokenness. I was talking to a school teacher last night on the way home from church, who's a friend of mine. And we were talking on the phone, and her and her husband are very good friends of mine. And she was picking up something for me. And I called to see if she picked it up. And I was talking to her. And she told me, did you see the news in Charlotte? I said, yes, she's a school teacher. And she said to me, she said, Chris, I have never seen the likes of people absolutely not even bothered by things. They don't even seem bothered about his school. They're not bothered about anywhere. We've done got so used to the dark. Do you know what the problem is? There is no brokenness in the house of God. There is no brokenness in our country. We need to get broken. We need to bend. And we need to get broken. And we need to ask God to do it again and break us and get us to the place we need to be. I'm convinced that we're not careful. Most of the things we do in the house of God, we can do without any brokenness at all. But God said through the psalmist David in Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Don't you listen to me? That little package said this. That little package said in order to get a glow out of this thing, it's got to be bent. You got to bend it. You got to bend it. But bending's not just enough. Because see, once God bends you, gets you to praying, God can break you. I'll tell you, someone asked me a long time ago, preacher, what do you believe is one of the number one things missing in the average Baptist church? And I said, tears. I remember a day when sinners raised their hand. And if they didn't get saved, people got the door weeping, thinking, man, somebody's not getting saved. Somebody didn't get saved. But we've lost our tears. We've lost our brokenness. We show up for church and we go in and we sit down and we go through the things. There's nothing wrong. It's always right to do right. And we come in and we do right and we show up. But when's the last time somebody wet an old-fashioned altar with their tears over a broken loved one? When's the last time someone wept over America? When's the last time someone wept over a generation that don't even know who God is? Hey, we need to get to the place where we're broken so we can have a glow on our lives. People have often asked me what was the difference between those Old Testament saints, or not Old Testament, old men of God of years gone by and what it is today. And I'll be honest with you. Them men so loved Jesus, it broke them. It broke them. I mean, I'm telling you the truth, buddy, they were broken. They were broken. In our day and time today, I mean, we get broken over Fifi the cat dying, over a dog. Don't misunderstand me. We don't have any more dogs. I had two of them. They lived a long time. Both of them died. I'm done with that. Amen. Digging a hole, put a dog in, you crying while you're digging a hole. I'm done with that mess. Amen. I told Wendy, we'll just watch somebody else's dogs. Amen. Right there. I pray they become that part of you. Amen. But I want to tell you this. When you get to the place in church where we're just not broken, so there's no glow. There's no glow. Average Christians never been bent. They're not praying. We're not broken. And so we're just a stick that's got, we got something in us that could really shine. That's good. That's right. But we just can't seem to get it activated. Yeah. We just can't seem to get it activated. I was looking at that little package. I picked up a third thing. It says on the package, in order to activate the glow, you have to bend it, you have to snap it, and you have to shake it. Other words, if it doesn't get shaken up, whatever. If it don't get, what is the word, shaken? Don't even sound right. If it doesn't get shaken up, then there is no way you're going to get the glow. Can I say this? What we need God to do one more time, whether it's revival right here at Crossroads or revival down in Statesville at Calvary, or whether Pastor it's your church or whether it's somewhere else, we need God to shake us one more time. We need God to wake us up. We need God to shake us. Why? So we can activate the glow that is in our lives. See, we got it in us. The stuff's there. We could glow. But the problem is, we're not bent. The problem is, we ain't been broken. We ain't snapped. Some of us have snapped, but not in the right way. And the problem is, nothing shakes us anymore. You ever notice how many times in the Bible great events happen with shaking? Think about the tomb. Think about it on Calvary. On Calvary when Jesus died. Praise God, when he puts his feet down on the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives is going to cleave asunder. It's going to shake. They want to build that years ago. It's been years ago, but they wanted to build some type of hotel right there for all the tourism, and they could not build it because they said there was a fault line, and they were afraid at any time an earthquake might happen right there. Can I tell you this? It's going to happen, and I know who the fault line is, and Jesus is going to set his feet down, and the mountain's going to cleave asunder. And hey, there'll be a... Listen, I preached one time on a whole lot of shaking going on. Amen. Man. And I wasn't talking about Elvis either, hallelujah. But I want you to understand tonight, the problem sometimes is we've just never been shaken. When's the last time God shook you? Right? Y'all have, I grew up one of them mamas, she'd grab and say, "Are you listening to me?" Yeah. She's shaking me. Right? Don't you watch this tonight. Miss Anna's got a couple packs. She's going to give them a few girls around her, whoever. But the first thing you said about this thing, now you understand, I was deprived as a boy. Until I got this message, I never played one of these things in my life. First thing it says is you bend it, right? Then you break it. You heard it pop. Then you shake it. But don't you watch something. See the glow starting? But notice up here, it's still not glowing all the way because not all of it's shaking yet. So you keep on shaking it. And you keep on shaking it. And eventually, if you keep on shaking this thing, and I'm not going to do it all night, all of a sudden now, look, what was in it is now glowing just like Jesus is in your heart. Girls, y'all want to get them little sticks glowing? I'm amazed how many Christians have got what they got in them, but they're not glowing. And the truth is, they've never been bent, they've never been broken, and they've never been shaken. You know what God said? God says it's no good to have your light and to hide it under a bushel. It's no good to have a light nobody can see. But as our kids used to sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." How does it shine, Brother Chris? Simple. You bend. You break. And you let God shake your life. And we can have revival. I really only thought I'd ever preach this to teenagers because they relate to some things like this. But I preached it in a church a while back, first local church I preached it in. And God really used it that night. It was a Friday night of the meeting I preached, and I got done preaching. I always went out in this church and I'd go change clothes because I had to drive home. The air conditioning would be on me, so I'd always change. And that night, the pastor's wife was giving my wife a basket, a little basket thing, you know, some stuff in it. My wife had been there a few nights. We could drive back and forth. And she was giving her a basket. So I was back in the back changing. I thought, what's taking them so long? Because usually I wait till I hear them say amen, fellowship, and I walk back in the church and shake hands. But finally, she come back and she said, "They want you to come in the building." I said, "Well, I just checked. If they want you." I said, "Okay." So I come in the building. When I come in the building, so help me. I walked in the building, and the pastor's wife stood up and said, "Turn the lights off." And they hit the buttons. And I heard popping through that entire auditorium. And all of a sudden, every member of that church seated had a glow stick and they raised it. And the whole place lit up with every glow stick in that building. And they said, "Preacher, we want our light to shine." Amen. You see, you got to understand tonight, where the light switch at in this building? Can somebody hit that for me? Girls, y'all got those? You got yours over here? I want you to notice what a difference it makes when you let your light shine. If your light's not shining tonight, nobody's paying attention to you right now. But you see the light shining? That makes a difference. By the way, you can turn the lights back on. I usually use one of these. It's a whole lot bigger. It's called a mega stick. It's a lot bigger than this. They were sold out at Dollar General that I go by on the way back. But you know, I found out what the word mega means. Mega literally means one price gets it all. Amen. Now you'll get that on the way home.
Yeah. Come on.
You know when you go to the Golden Corral, used to be, I don't know if y'all have them up here or not, or wherever, Ryan's used to be, they used to have a mega bar. I asked the guy what a mega bar was. Shoney's and people have mega bar. They said a mega bar is one price gets it all. I got to think about when I got that little stick. When Jesus, hallelujah, died for me. He paid one price and I got it all. Amen. So my little mega stick needs to shine. Amen. Brother Clark, I want you to shine, all right? Amen. If you'll be good now, I've got a little frog you can put on top of that. Amen. Don't forget the package. Don't forget what it says. It simply says, bend, snap, and shake to activate. But then it says full glow can take a few minutes. I got thinking, what a little bitty package that said so much. Bend and shake to activate. Now I want to say this to you tonight, and I want you to understand what I'm getting ready to say to you. We need to be a light in this very, very dark world. We need to be a light. And if we're not a light in this dark world, then there's no way we're going to be able to reach people we need to reach. Just stand to your feet tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed. Just before the invitation, just before our brother comes tonight, and we have the invitation. I want you to listen to me just a moment tonight. Here's the way I want to give the invitation tonight. I want to ask all of you a question. And I'll be honest with you, I think of all the things in my life that I'm most guilty of is prayerlessness. You say, preacher, you are not say that. You're a preacher. I didn't say I didn't pray. But I can say this. Sometimes we get too busy, too much in a hurry, and it's the power source. I want to ask you a question on revival night on Thursday. Won't you be honest with me? How's your prayer life? If it were up to this church to glow, how's your prayer life tonight to help it glow? I don't know about you, but boy, if I were listening to a preacher say that, it would convict me. Second of all, when's the last time that God, once He had you bent, when's the last time that God broke you? You know, if we're not careful, we go to church so long. And you young people really have to be careful about this that are raised in church. Because you go to church so long, if you're not careful, it just becomes the norm, what you do. It's not wrong, nothing wrong with doing right. But do you remember the day that it would break you? Boy, you beg God to show up. When's the last time God shook us? How many more kids going to die in schools? How many more babies going to die with abortion? How many more families are going to be destroyed before it shakes us? You know what God said about Israel when they backslid? God said about Israel when they backslid that they no longer blushed. You know what that means? That means they done got so used to the way it was, it didn't even bother them anymore. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like that. I still want it to break me. And I still want it to shake me. I still want, listen, I know you're not saved by how you feel, but praise God, it feels so good to be saved. Amen. Would you bow your head with me just a moment as she plays softly? Lord, thank you for the sweet presence of God tonight. Now, Lord, during this time of invitation, may we examine how our light's shining tonight. God, somebody needs some light. Somebody needs some light. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight to be that light. Can I ask you why folks are coming tonight? Would there be anybody just like to slip out of your seat and say, God, I'm guilty of prayerlessness. Really don't pray as often as I should. Lord, it's been a while since you broke me in. It's been a while since you shook my life. Lord, I don't want to go through the motions. I want to glow in this dark world. I want to glow in this dark world. Somebody at Crossroads Baptist Church has got to be light. Somebody's got to be light. Somebody's got to be light. Somebody's got to be light in your school. Somebody's got to be light in your home. Somebody's got to be light in your church and your youth department. Somebody's got to be light. Oh God, shake us again. Our brother's going to sing the invitation. You just continue to mind the Lord. Oh God, shake us one more time. Softly a moment right before pastor comes tonight. I want to say this tonight. One of my burdens in my life is that God could use me wherever I am to be a light. And I'm not talking about in the pulpit. I'm not talking about in church. All my life, whether it's come from racing dirt bikes for 28 years or riding bicycles or whatever I've done, I'm around a whole lot of people that don't know the Lord. And I just want God to let me be enough light. I don't want to cover it up or hide it or be ashamed of it. You know what this community needs? This community needs Crossroads Baptist Church to be a light on a hillside where a lost and dying world can say, there's something glowing over there. There's something glowing. Amen. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Girls, y'all know that little chorus. Can y'all sing that little chorus that's standing right there for me? Hold on just a minute, sister. Here's what the whole message is about. Thank you, girls. Pastor, you come. Love you, buddy. Amen.